You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
It's hard. There's so many I could talk about. I do think going to London is special. I think, playing the Packers week one, getting off to a right start against a really good football team will be really important. I think playing on Thanksgiving Day is always a unique thing to do. And then those final two games on the road for the division, good chance that you're playing for the division on the road when you get to that point. And so, long ways down the road, but it's coming.
There he is. Old Kirky boy, Captain Clutch, the fourth quarter Pharaoh, the secondary slayer, breaking down the Vikings schedule. We just did an episode for Question Friday. That you can find. That's our first official record prediction. Everything else that we've done, sort of like, looking at the games without the order and Judd's mock schedule, that was all preseason for us. This was the first actual.
It got really serious and contentious.
It did. Almost broke up. Yeah, especially that Jets game. Boy, didn't see that disagreement coming. Yeah,
no, my goodness. No. I mean, it's tougher than you guys think. Mm-hmm.
So go check that episode out. This is Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Well, it's been 60 years. It's really not that much to ask for at this point. The show is brought to you by our friends at Surly Brewing Company and TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands. They have a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. All right, we go to the comment section on a regular basis here on Purple Daily and sort of hand the keys to the show over to you guys to ask whatever questions you want, critiques, concerns, theories about things. You can always hit us up through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab at the bottom of it and send us questions that we can stockpile throughout the week. You can hit us up in the YouTube comment section, Twitter, Instagram, even TikTok. We're up over 5,000 followers on the Score North TikTok account. Let's start with this one. David Winkler on Twitter. He sent this after the Wild crapped the bed in their playoff series against the Blues. Just another Minnesota sports disappointment in the postseason. And he says, the stage is set. The team that owns this town is going to deliver us from curse. Come on down, Captain Kirk. Brett Favre couldn't deliver it. Can you see it? From clenched jaw to legend, Kirk Cousins finally breaking whatever this Minnesota sports curse is. Can you see it?
Hold on, I'm looking.
He's got his offensive coach. He's got Justin Jefferson. Looking. His offensive line is better.
I think Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah think that they can get Kirk to where they want him to go, which is where the fan base does as well. I will say this until it's proven differently. I never see Kirk Cousins winning a Super Bowl, and I probably don't, and I don't see him playing in one.
So you can't envision him.
Can't, no.
Confetti is falling. He's
Jefferson,
holding a Lombardi.
I look.
Trent Dilfer,
look,
Brad Johnson, Eli Manning twice.
I'm closing my eyes.
Joe,
okay?
Flacco.
Wait. I see something. Oh, there's Justin Jefferson. Brian O'Neill's hugging him. This is special. Here comes Christian Darrisaw. The confetti is all over. But who's the quarterback? It's just a shell of a Vikings jersey.
It's C.J. Stroud.
I have no idea who it is, but it's a shell of a jersey. No, I can't.
It's that Miami kid who's going to be drafted. It's the Boston College guy. It's
yeah,
that guy.
You know what? Yeah, the Boston College guy. It's the BYU kid. I don't know who it is.
It's Sean Mannion. Sean Mannion stepping in for an injured Kirk Cousins in the playoffs.
Kellen Mond. I'm sorry. I just don't see Kirk doing it.
Okay. So
it's a lot.
I think it's unlikely that I don't think he has Super Bowl DNA. Right. And here's like as you unpack this, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than some of the quarterbacks who've won Super Bowls in the last 20 to 25 years. He is a better quarterback than Brad Johnson. He is a better quarterback than Trent Dilfer. I think you can make a strong case that he is a better overall quarterback in many ways, for sure, than Joe Flacco and maybe even Eli Manning. Now, the difference was with Flacco and Eli, those guys took their baseline performance and cranked it up for the most important four games of the three seasons in which they won Super Bowls.
Yes.
In the case of a Dilfer, he was literally just riding a thoroughbred defense, one of the greatest defenses in history, and just don't screw it up, guy. Don't crash the Ferrari.
Right.
You know, the defense should be better, but Kirk's not going to have that sort of a Ferrari defense to drive. So it's hard because I think he's missing some intangibles. I'm curious to see if Kevin O'Connell can get some of those things out of him. Do I envision him with confetti falling, holding a Super Bowl trophy up on behalf of the Vikings? It's hard. It's hard. What about you, Declan?
It's difficult. It'd be the thing that I'm like, I'm not fearful of, but I think is kind of like ironic here is these wild teams have fallen on their faces. These Twins teams, you know, recently they break the home run record but can't figure it out. The Wolves might be on the up and up, but it's not quite all there yet. It'd be quite hilarious if it's Kirk Cousins, the guy that actually rises up and the one that delivers the Vikings and this town a men's championship that they've been waiting for almost the last like 30 years now. So I think that's the kind of like funny part is if it is of all teams, we thought it was this wild team. You know, we thought it was the best home run hitting team potentially that could have made a run. But actually, at the end of the day, it's still going to be Kirk Cousins. And I don't think so, personally, to answer your question. I don't think so. But I think that's what's like the funny, intriguing part to watch this play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's I think what I worry about for Kirk is you get to a certain point in your career and he's been playing football in the NFL for over 10 years and you know, a handful of years at Michigan State and high school. Does he envision himself hoisting a Super Bowl trophy? You know, does he have a reference point in his mind or a vision of winning a championship in a Vikings uniform? Or is that sort of an unattainable thing even in his mind? And I say that because look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has won championships in college. Did he win a state title in high school? Can't remember. But he's got this ridiculous record in like these must-win games, big bowl games, national championship game, et cetera. When Joe Burrow steps foot on the field for a wild card AFC playoff game, he knows what it's like to have confetti falling on your head. Now, is it different when you're doing it in college? Yes, absolutely. But he, like in his mind, oh, I know I'm a Super Bowl winning quarterback. It just depends on is it going to be this year or are we going to do it in 5 years, right? Kirk has come nowhere close in his football life to winning at that level, ever. Not at Michigan State, not in high school, not with Washington, not with the Vikings. You're in your mid-30s. I'd love to get inside his head and see, what is your level of belief that given a good enough defense, a good enough set of weapons, coaching, like it's not going to be perfect, but can you take something that's good in your mind and bring it to that level? I don't know. I legitimately don't know if he thinks about that in the way that Tom Brady does, in the way that Russell Wilson does, Joe Burrow, et cetera.
I think in Kirk's mind, he has won a championship, and that is the payday. I think his championship
was confetti falling down, him and his agent
in the
and
Cousins
his wife.
Household, if you don't think it was, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Go back and watch that whole
confetti.
Yes.
Falling.
Go back and watch that documentary where they're literally manipulating the Jets and Vikings to get what he wants, and they get the whole thing guaranteed, which in this league is an enormous win, especially at that time. Nope. I think he has a championship. I think it's called his bank account. And look, that's some guys. That's some dudes, man. That's not just him.
Could be. Could be.
Make?
All right. Feedback Friday, or I should say comments from YouTube here, continues. Feedback Friday's on Mackie and Judd. You can find that too. So I threw a poll out on like Thursday night, I want to say. You guys have all seen the Vikings schedule. So asking Vikings fans, how many wins? And I gave four different options because that's all they give you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So far, 1,500 votes here. 16% of people said 12 or more wins. 37%, the biggest chunk, said 11 or 10 wins. Wow. 33% said 9 or 8 wins. Mm-hmm. And then 14% say 7 or fewer. So 70% of people think the Vikings are going to be between 8 and 11 wins somewhere, sort of fighting for a playoff spot. You know, if you get to 11, you may be fighting for a division.
Right.
And then the outliers are 16% say they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL, 12 or more wins, and then 14% say they're going to be even worse than they were last year. What do you guys think?
I'm in the camp with 8 or 9 wins because I think that the schedule is not super hard. But the thing is, there's so many variables we don't know right now. The offense should be great, but we don't know for sure. Like O'Connell has never, to be clear, he wasn't calling plays. And look, they're very different personalities. But guys, we went through the same exact thing with Childress, right? 2006. He is an offensive guru. Well, he didn't call plays. Oh, but he's a quarterback whisperer. He developed McNabb. You guys don't understand. And, you know, it didn't play out that way. The defense looks certainly better, and I expect much more from it. But, again, we don't know. So I'm really hard-pressed to just in May, after seeing this schedule that ends with back-to-back road games in the division, just say, yeah, they're going to win 11 games. I think eight-ish wins is very – it's realistic without being completely disappointing, if that makes sense.
Well, so Vegas sportsbooks have the Vikings at like 8.5. Like Caesars has them today at 8.5. And so it's not shocking to me that the biggest chunk of fans would have them a win and a half or 2.5 above that.
Sure.
But every fan base probably says that. The Lions fan, I think the Lions are at like 5.5 or 6 for an over under, maybe 6.5. And I'm sure if you polled Lions fans, they're feeling pretty good about being in a bunch of close games. And, oh, we just added a star receiver and Dan Campbell gets a second year and they're probably going to flirt with like 8 wins. So I think every fan base sort of projects their team, even Buffalo fans. I want to say the Bills over under is 11.5.
Wow.
I'm sure Buffalo fans are sitting there saying, 14. We are a 13, 14 win team.
Yeah.
But there's only a finite amount of wins that can be had in the NFL. So not every team can outperform their Vegas over-under by a game and a half or 2 or 2.5 games.
Yeah, I think the 8 to 10 wins is fair. I think once we cross to 10, if fans are thinking it's 11 or 12, well, I'd love to hear your reasoning. And I mean, if they stay healthy and things start to click right away, all right, let's have the conversation and I can see it going down the path. But I think just having the tempered expectations of this roster still being decent but not necessarily a Super Bowl contender yet, I think that 8 to 10 win range is probably very, very fair.
Michael Hacker via the YouTube comment section says, I don't understand this. You guys preach about the eyeball test for a quarterback, but then you ignore it with other positions. You claim KJ Osborne can't be a number one or number two wide receiver. If you watch his college ball and NFL plays, he passes the eyeball test. I'm not saying he's going to be Justin Jefferson or Randy Moss, but the dude is a really good receiver and only gets better. He is Stephon Diggs 2.0.
Awesome if that's true. That's great. He was drafted to return kicks. Now, he sucked at that. got a chance to play receiver and was good. But, I mean, he was the clear-cut three. And I like him. And he makes some tough grabs. That being said, Stephon Diggs 2.0, man, if that's true, that is really, really good. I guess I don't see it going that far.
Yeah, I think, and this conversation goes back to the idea of drafting a receiver at number 12. I think you got to be careful just projecting the best case scenario for every player. You have to be realistic if you're a front office. Could you look at KJ Osborne and say, okay, one of the outcomes, if he maxes out his career, is one of the outcomes that he's kind of like a Stephon Diggs, where he goes from being a fifth round pick to one of the best receivers? There's probably a 5 to 10% chance of that happening. But I think he's a rock solid number three wide receiver. Maybe knocks on the door of being a number two if he really fulfills his expectations or his potential, I should say. But you can't just look at every player and bank on them being the best version of of themselves. You've got to plan for, well, what if he just kind of settles in as a number three? So what I'm saying is, right, if there's a receiver at number 12, and it doesn't matter now because they didn't draft one, right, that you think could be as good as Justin Jefferson, if you thought that, you know, like Drake London or whatever, pull the trigger, and then you have a good problem, then okay, then KJ is your number 2B when Adam Thielen leaves or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess but you can't say that, well, the eyeball test shows he's a number one or number two, but he's not really Justin Jefferson. Well, Justin Jefferson's a one. So if you don't think that, right, KJ Osborne is Jefferson, then he's not a one.
And I think as sports fans, we also struggle with guys finding roles. Like, we always want to say, well, I mean, he was great as the three, so he's got to be a two, right?
That's maybe not necessarily he's a three.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, absolutely fine. That's great. That's a role. But I feel like in sports, we're always so eager to move a guy up. And it's like, okay, some guys thrive. Good for them. Some guys don't. It hurts their career. So, yeah. So, like, KJ Osborne, to me, last year was a really pleasant surprise, and I think he's a contributing player, and I think he's good. If Thielen gets hurt, do I want him automatically bumping up to the two because I say that's the role he deserves? I don't know about that.
Yeah. What happens is it's the Peter principle, right? You start to elevate, and this happens in management where this person's been with the company for 12 years. They deserve a promotion here. Well, are they actually qualified for that job?
Sure.
Matt Asiata, well, he's a great practice player, and obviously, like, Peterson got hurt, and that's why he got elevated. But no, Matt Asiata was a backup running back. When you start to give him 200 carries,
exactly,
you start to see that he's like a 3.4 yards per carry
guy.
Like
pitchers, right? Like this guy's a great five. Well, he can be a two or a one. Yeah. Well, actually, probably can't.
So I think I personally think you should be building your roster with the idea that, hey, KJ is a great number three. If he becomes something more than that, it's a bonus. But you shouldn't plan on it. That's my thought. Amen. Okay, Matt Burns via YouTube says, Judd's looking pretty trim. When I watched older videos, he looked like the old man from Up. Now he looks more like he would be selling me Now he looks more like he'd be selling me propane and propane accessories.
Hank Hill.
Dude, I do not get near propane. I'm scared of propane. But I like the old man from Up.
It's amazing. Credit to Livia for that if you want to learn more. Livia Weight Control Centers. Dick via YouTube says, hey, Mackie, I want to send you a photo of me and my chill boys. What's your email? You know, I'm going to pass on a photo from a guy named Dick in his underwear. All right.
You can tweet it. Like, if you want to put it out there, dude, tweet it.
I think
we're all good on that. Yes.
Yeah. No, no, if he's wearing them, if they're good chill boys.
Like, definitely support chill boys. But
chill boys. Great long johns. Yeah. Head boxers.
Chris Bellamy via YouTube says, Judd is the scarecrow. Mackie is the cowardly lion. Declan is the tin man.
The tin man not tin have... Hair.
Got good hair.
Who tin didn't man have, not the have the heart? Tin man didn't have a heart.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
That'd be Judd, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Declan's the scarecrow.
Yeah, I don't have a brain. It's pretty clear I don't have a brain. I have courage. Like, I'm a lion. I have courage. I have courage to put some things out there. But the brain, no I am brain. Missing. The intelligence.
No brain. All right.
I feel like I'm the broom. I'm like the broom that the witch rides.
Like
something.
The flying monkeys that just come down and just take us apart.
Colton Toutfest via the Score North app says, I've been listening to y'all for a while on Spotify. Thank you, Colton. I just recently downloaded the Score North app to try it out. Can we please have a brief discussion on the thoughts of trading Dalvin Cook for draft picks or maybe even other players and a pick? I believe Alexander Mattison can handle the role and later on get a new running back. So Mattison, here's the problem. I don't think Cook's going anywhere in 2022 because it doesn't make financial sense.
Right.
Mattison is a free agent after 2022.
Yes.
So they're kind of, if I think the first offseason they would look to maybe trade Cook is next spring.
Yes.
And then they'd be in the market. Well, they just drafted that kid from, was it North Carolina? Somehow, maybe he steps up, but I don't see them just writing Dalvin Cook's contract off the cliff.
Right.
We'll see.
This is a great question because it's fun, but the problem is this: you would be amazed how little the return would be if you traded Cook. He's a running.
It wouldn't be a first round pick.
No, it would probably be a third round pick. Mm-hmm. He's an aging, beat up, really good, but not healthy enough to justify. And it's a position that, look, more and more teams simply think they can find guys. So why would you trade like a first round pick? I think we think, okay, when it's time for Cook to be done here, you're going to get a like a high draft pick and you're going to get a team's first round pick. And it's not, no, you're not going to. So I think with Dalvin Cook, if Dalvin Cook leaves during the course of the current contract, I think it's because he is released. If he does.
Yeah, it's funny because you say aging, and I'm like, really aging? But he's going to be 27 years old when the season starts. And he's played five beat up seasons so far.
And that's a dog years position, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you become 27, 28, you start to really see guys.
And we looked at this back when AP was, I think, 29. When you hit 30, that's a cliff.
Well, 30 is like, I feel like 30 for great running backs is the cliff. 27, 28 tends to be the cliff for a lot of other guys. And Dalvin's probably more in that great category, but. He's also been more banged up than usual.
The trade would get you very little if you were to trade him.
Yeah. Aquasi can get you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Declan's been telling everyone anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on for that pontoon ride here coming up in a couple weeks and, you know, you take a look in that lake and you don't want weeds to overtake your lake out there, right? Well, call Aquasi. Yeah. They'll help you identify that weed problem, make sure your place looks great all summer long. They've been helping people maintain lake shores for over 60 years. They're also a local company. They're in White Bear Lake, but go check them out at aquaside.com. Their products are registered with both the EPA and DNR. They're safe products, and they're very easy to use. You do it yourself, and they will walk you through the entire process. Aquaside and aquaside.com.
Yeah. Also, cheers to the weekend, boys. Surly, always in hand for at least Judd.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what... In fact, it's the Surly box here. That's right. It's a new thing.
Put it on your head.
The Surly Box. I'm the Surly Box, and I want you to go to your local liquor store and pick me up for the weekend because Surly Furious is the best beer around. And you know what? If you're not a Furious type, that's okay. Surly Brewing has so many other products, drips and drops, so many Havoc Machine. In fact, they just unveiled, I believe, for summer, a new variety pack. So make sure that you, for the weekend, have plenty of Surly.
Boom. Okay, Tom Hinkle via the Score North app. Phil, I found Purple Daily on YouTube. Been listening for about 4 months now. Love the show. The reason why I enjoy the show is because you, Judd, and Declan are realists, not Vikings sycophants. Thank you. Pride ourselves on that.
That's right. Exactly.
Tell Judd he reminds me of a lighter, more cleaned up Michael Moore, the documentarian.
Oh, wow.
I can see that.
Can you?
He's pretty schleppy, man.
He's real schleppy.
Judd's not going to knock on some guy's door and be like, you're bad. He won't. Yeah, I don't think he's not going to leave his house to do that. He'll call you bad.
No.
He'll call you if you're a bad person. But he
won't.
On
your back, though. Yeah.
He will not knock on your door and invade your privacy, leaving his own privacy to do so.
I'm schleppy. I feel like Phil's right. Michael Moore, more schleppy than me.
Way more schleppy.
Yeah. He's a very schleppy guy. That's well put. That's a great word, Phil.
Schleppy.
D. Jones via YouTube says, why do you guys keep forgetting about BC Johnson? So BC missed all of last year with, was it an ACL tear?
Training camp. He tore his, I saw it. Yeah, he slipped and tore his ACL during a training camp practice.
Yeah, I mean, so he'll be back in the mix. He's under contract.
He might not make the team this time. Let's be honest.
It's tough because
KJ got the chance because BC got hurt, and it worked out perfect for KJ.
Listen, BC was a seventh-round pick for a reason. You know, he wasn't a first, second-round talent. I think if he was... you know, fourth, fifth-round guy like a Stephon Diggs, KJ Osborne, there'd be more upside there. But even in his breakout season of 2019, he only caught 31 passes for 294 yards. He averaged 9.5 yards per reception, which is really low. So, he's a guy.
Among the indictments that we talked about at the time but probably didn't talk about enough, that the Zim era was coming to an end, was opening day 2020 against the Packers at home when BC Johnson started and Justin Jefferson didn't.
That's right. The first two games, didn't JJ not start the first two games?
Correct.
But that's one of those things now in retrospect where you're like, that's where you start to have some problems. I mean, that's not a, oh, whoopsie, we were trying. I mean, JJ was prepared to play. Unbelievable player, and you were like, no, he's a rookie. He doesn't start.
Yep, super weird. Why would you not just put a weapon on the field? You know, it doesn't make sense. And then Scott Dawson here with the last one, at least for today, via Twitter. Have you guys considered Rick Spielman was fired because he was against running it back? He already did that in 2020, and it was a disaster. Do you think Rick maybe made a pitch to the ownership and said, guys, we need to stop doing this thing with Cousins. We need to let's just take a deep breath here, take a step back. And the ownership said, no, dude, if you can't do it, we're going to find someone else that will push forward.
Could that have been part of it? Like, I have no clue if that's true, but I love the thought process.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because he was definitely involved with the fact that Zimmer was going to be fired, right? And so he might have said, yeah, you know, it didn't work, and they are deathly afraid of being bad. I love this.
It's a good theory.
I totally buy it as a theory.
It's a good theory. I would assume Rick definitely wanted to find a new head coach. And if you're going to find a new head coach, you're probably going to, in that situation, if you're going to find a new head coach, you're probably going to look for a new quarterback. What I wonder is, so Malik Willis fell to the third round, and Rick had some good things to say about Malik in his little media tour of draft evaluation.
Yes.
Would Rick have reached for Malik Willis in the first round? Would he have traded back, accumulate some extra picks, and then take Malik Willis late in the first round? Or would they have gone, you know, a different
position?
And
that's the problem, too, is he might have, and that's very Rick-like. Like, I will say this. I will maintain I had and still to this day have no faith in his ability to identify quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think Teddy was a Norv pick, but I think when Rick has been the one trying to make the calls, his inability to evaluate the most important position in sports is huge. I think what got Rick fired was when they went to fire Zim. I think he said, if you're going to fire me, you got to look at this guy too. I think that played a role.
Yeah.
I think that
stabbing him in the back.
Well, that's and right. You know what? Rick was called. I mean, Rick probably deserved that steam as well. That heat that came down on him that
if
day.
I'm going down, you're going down too.
Well, think about Mike. Rick. Phil, I mean, Mike is probably one of the most vindictive folks that we have seen in this town.
Yeah,
true. I love that one.
I
don't even get that totally, and I still think that's funny.
All right, guys, that is a wrap on Purple Daily Reads the Comments here. Daily Vikings Entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we dive vent line with Declan tomorrow. We'll see you guys.
Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. The College Football Playoff Committee made their decision on Sunday, and as much as I loathe the idea of Ohio State losing their way into the College Football Playoff, I 100% agree with OSU making it in over Bama. Nick Saban citing some hypothetical point spreads to prove his point that the Tide deserve a spot in the College Football Playoffs holds little substance when you consider Bama's best win is over Texas. No, the committee got it right. TCU had a great season with far more ranked wins than Bama and didn't deserve to lose their spot after playing a surging Kansas State in a championship game. And Ohio State, while not playing some of their best ball later in the season, was still 12-0 until they came face-to-face with my Wolverines. While the College Football Playoff system isn't nowhere near as good as it could be, it's better than what we had. And in a few years, it will be better for all of college football. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. And don't forget, BetOnline for the NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.